Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Malka.
Malka, now is the point. I know your voice. You don't have to mention your name unless you wish to.
Okay.
But you're welcome to keep announcing yourself. I take it you're the first one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I found our conversation earlier today interesting.
Which one?
The Deep Zohar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at some videos on Atlantis, the lost cities.
You have to be real careful with what has you joined. Find on YouTube,
right.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
Good evening, whoever arrived.
Hello. Sorry, I thought you had started, so I didn't want to interrupt any more than I had to, so I just pressed the pound key instead.
No, we were just commenting on the Deep Zohar class.
Okay.
So let us begin with the Ana B'Koach. Please join me. Ana B'Koach. Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Terura Alephet Gimel Yutat Zadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Taharenu No Shayan Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Gevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Amlem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufal Yutah.
We have brought
the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim V'rah chesed ve'emet, notze chesed la'alafim, notze avon wa'fesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Ulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashat Yitro. It's known as Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nandekucha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot But laid lach mila bialma, divae barnash, the dach ya leya minea ulan haga, eya kalana, de hakulu ovada, big shot inun, wikola its theory, bialma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. By studying this verse, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, we maintain that energy, we connect to that energy, we manifest that energy, and we continue to manifest that energy. With Tom T. Makom, Leami, Le Israel, Untati Vishakan, Dakta Vilo Yirga, Od Vilo Yosifu, Vene Avlala Anoto, Ka Asher Barishona. The energy of our current year, 5781, is the energy of redemption. Providing the children of Israel are prepared for the redemption. One of the ways we prepare our vessels for the redemption is by studying the verse that connects to the energy of redemption. And one of those verses is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Wagam mehem eka lakohanim lalivim. Amar Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Wahe Dawanu Heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter out loud with its root vowel in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka heta heza yo ala da la awa he hea yo zala me be he he re yo he kome la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la Nulaha yo 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 me la he wa nuta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he Sa'ala areyo ashila meyo he wahe wa danu yo he he shi ameme nunu wa nu yo da mebe he pe wa yo nu meme yo yo la he re he me ta re wa mebe yo he he anu wa me he yo la mebe me nu ko ayo a he be wa Pray I hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sa, pe, pe, a, me, me, be, shi, la, yo, hey, anu, wa, ka, me, da, he, yo, anu, da, la, he, wa, he, me, ya, yo, ta, la, me, re, hey, pe, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me, la, wa, wa, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wa, pe, nu, la, nu, me, ha, yo, hey, yo, me, nu, hey, 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 wa, nu yo hey hey shia yo re ta shia hey re la yo a wa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey ka ko me nu da la nu yo hey wa me re hey a yo hey za hey shi hey me ka ka wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me ta re wa me wa he be yo a he a la a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left today, which is the 25th day of Teshvan, it's the 24th day of Teshvan. Benjamin HaTzadik, Ben Yaakov Avinu, Benjamin, the progenitor of the tribe of Benjamin. Rabbi Hillel Moshe ben Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Mashel, Rabbi Abraham Azulai. We spoke about him on a different day earlier this month, and there's a machlokah as to which day he actually left. Rabbi Gedalia of Zalka'a, Rabbi Raphael Cohen ben Rabbi Yehuziel Diskind of Hamburg, Rabbi Chaim Yosef Brookstein of Piston, Rabbi David Twersky of Makarov, Rabbi Hillel Moshe Meshel Gelbenstein, Rabbi Raphael David Auerbach, Rabbi Gedalia Moshe Goldman of Seville, Rabbi Nahum Dov HaKohen Christman, will now connect to the Ani meditation, which is a tool that we use to climb the tree of life to reach the level that we wish to achieve in order to study what we will study tonight. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, Yusod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Ode. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yo ahoni wo yo ho. Yavura. Ya ash. Ni wo yo. Ya ash. Ni wo yo. Ya ash. Ni wo yo. Hesed. Ya ahoni wo yo ho. Yeah, any way yo hair. Yeah, any way yo hair. Bina. Yeah, any way yo hair. Yeah, any way yo hair. Yeah, any way yo hair. Achma. Yeah, honey way yo hair. Yeah, honey way yo hair. Yeah, honey way yo hair. Yester. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya
has joined.
Wa yoha. And we will say the eighth verse of the Anabakoach in a whisper. Our class tonight is an essay by the Ari connecting to the Parasha of Chayei Sarah. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. That will open up to a landing page of the writings of the Ari. If you scroll down to Parasha Chayei Sarah, there are four links under that landing page, or under that Parasha. The last one is titled Caves and Kingship, and that will be our class tonight. And we will start with a L'Shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Te Bid Kilu Urkimu Ud Kilu Ud Kilu Urkimu L'yakta L'shem Yud He Bavav He V'yichud Ashelim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kornei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kornei. Kabbalah illustrates the unique role of each of the terms used for the cave of Machpelah. In this portion of the Torah, we read about the cave of Machpelah. Abraham arose and bowed low to the people of the land, the Hittites, and he said to them, "If it is your wish that I remove my dead for burial, you must agree to intercede for me with Ephraim, the son of Zohar, that he sell me the cave of Machpelah that he owns, which is at the edge of his field. Let him sell it to me at the full price for a burial site in your midst. I am adding, do you truly think Abraham would let Sarah's body decay and infect the community?" Ephron was seated among the Hittites, so Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, so the Hittites could hear, all who had entry to the gate of his town, saying, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead." Then Abraham bowed low before the people of the land and spoke to Ephron. So the people of the land could hear, saying, "If only you would hear me out, let me pay the price of the field, accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there." Ephron replied to Abraham, saying to him, "My lord, hear me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Go and bury your dead." Abraham heard Ephron's terms. Abraham paid out to Ephron the money that he had named so the Hittites could hear, 400 shekels of silver at the going merchant's rates. So Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, the field with its cave and all the trees within the borders of that field, passed to Abraham as his possession. In the presence of the Hittites, of all who had entry to the gate of his town. And then Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Thus the field with its cave passed from the Hittites to Abraham as a burial site. The cave of Machpelah is mentioned three more times in the Torah. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried Abraham in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite. Abraham knew that the divine presence was present in the field surrounding this cave. Bury me with my fathers in the cave, in the field of Ephron, the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, opposite Mamre, in the land of Canaan, the field that Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite as a burial plot. And his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, the field that Abraham bought for a burial plot from Ephron the Hittite opposite Mamre. The question is raised in the Zohar as to why once in this passage it is written the cave of Machpelah, and another time it is written the field of Machpelah, and yet another time it is written the cave of the field of Machpelah. Remember, you have to be very careful in the words of Torah and notice these, what we would consider minor discrepancies between them, because there's great secrets, to use our favorite term, but it's literally teaching us many spiritual laws by understanding the meaning of those differences. The Zohar explains that the word Machpelah refers to Malchut, for Machpelah means doubled. And Malchut is signified by the second he of the name Havaya, the only letter that is doubled in this name. The field of Machpelah refers to the fact that Malchut is also called the field of holy apples. Abraham knew that the divine presence, the Shekhinah, which is synonymous with Malchut, was present in the field surrounding this cave. And that's why he wanted to bury Sarah there. But he hid this knowledge from the Hittites and referred to the cave simply as the cave of Machpelah, not mentioning the field. When the Torah itself describes the area, however, it uses the word field. The Arizal now elaborates on this explanation. The explanation is as follows. Both the higher Ima, which is Bina, and the lower Ima, which is Malchut, are manifest through a name Havaya spelled out with the letter He, and whose numerical value is 52, and it is known as Ban, the name of Ban, the name of 52. Ban is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, Vav Vav, Hey Hey. And it totals 52. That's the spelled out name. Remember, there are four main ways to spell out Hashem's name. Once with a Yud, once with a Hey, once with a without, once with an olive, and once with generally other letters, or no letters, essentially. Now, this name Ban, the spelled out name of Hashem with Hayes, has a gematria of 52, but it's actually double Hashem. 2 times 26 is 52. So Machpelah has two caves. It's doubled caves, but it's also, the gematria is an indication of doubling. And I am adding, in the paragraph below, the bolded expressions are connecting to the revealed letters of Hashem's name, and then the concealed letters to make various points. And I can see that didn't work, what I was trying to do. So I will explain. Essentially, the name is repeated twice more. Once with the Yud, and then the Vav Dalet is not counted. The He and the second He is not counted. The Vav and the second Vav is not counted. And the He, the second He is not counted. And that's showing you the revealed letters of Hashem's name, that gematria comes to 26. The second line is showing Vav Dalet. Then the second He, the second Vav, and the second He, and that shows you that we come to 26 also. Thus, the whole 52 name can be seen as a simple doubling of the name Havaya, which is 26. Furthermore, each individual letter is doubled numerically. The numerical value of the first letter, Yud, is 10. And the combined numerical value of the two letters used to spelling it out, Vav and Dalet, is also 10. Similarly, the last three letters of this name, Hey Vav Hey, are spelled out with the same three letters, Hey Vav Hey. The last three letters are spelled out by simply doubling them. Therefore, the name in general is called the Machpelah, for it is a double of the name Havaya. The word Machpelah means double, from the root Kaf Pe Lamed. The first hay of them all is the origin. Now this name possesses four hays. The two hays of the name Havaya, and the two hays used to spell them out. And these correspond to four subdivisions of the supernal Ima, two states of Bina and the two states of Tibuna, as we have explained elsewhere. Elsewhere, in Etz Chaim and so forth, however, the Arizal explains that the four subdivisions of Ima are as follows. Its Chachma, Bina, and Dat are called the supernal Ima. Now, this is Chachma, Bina, and Dat of Bina. And that's known as the supernal Ima. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet of Bina are called the first Tivuna. Netzachot and Yesod of Bina are called the second Tivuna. Its Malchut is called the third Tivuna. According to this, there is one state of Bina and three states of Tivuna. The commentator is pointing out the differences in this essay by the Ari and in other places. He implied differences, or he said differences. In general, Tivuna is applied intellect, as opposed to Bina, which is abstract intellect. It would thus make sense that Bina would only be the Chachma Bina Dat of Ima, the intellect of the intellect, while the other components of the intellect would be its applications to emotion, to behavior, and to expression. These are the four parts of Feme within Bima. Sometimes these join together and are included together, and then they are called the supernal Ima, which includes them all within herself. And this is the significance of the name Ban, of the supernal Ima, which includes the four aforementioned subdivisions. In a parallel way, the lower mother, Malhut, subdivides into four distinct subdivisions, corresponding to the four Hays in her Ban, which encompasses them all. And understand this well. If you look back up a little bit and you see the spelled out name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, you'll count the letters Hey, and you'll find there are four of them. Rabbi Chaim Vital notes later, however, that it is not clear what these four subdivisions of Malchut are. There are thus three strata in the meaning of the word Machpelah as doubled. The fact that the Hay appears twice in the name Havaya is one of them. The fact that each of these Hays is spelled out with another Hay in the name Ban, giving four Hays. And the fact that there is a name Ban in both Ima and Nukva, giving eight Hays. Having discussed what the four Hays are in both the Ban of Ima and the Ban of Nukva, the Arizal now considers again the original four Hays, the two Hays of the name Havaya and the two Hays used to spell them out. The first Hay of them all is the origin, and it is called the Cave of Machpelah. It is itself, by itself, it is called the Cave, but since implicit within it is the Hay used to spell it out, it is called the Cave of Machpelah. The first Hay by itself is called the Cave, since it is something that has something inside it, just like a cave is a hollow that can contain something else. When it is considered together with its implicit contents, the Hay used to spell it out, it is called the Cave of Machpelah, the cave containing its own double. The second Hay, the spelling out of the first original Hay, is called Machpelah by itself, as it is written, so Ephron's field in Machpelah, for it is doubled the Hay, as we said. In this verse, the word Machpelah is used by itself, not describing a field or a cave. The doubled Hay is simply called the double, or Machpelah. The third Hay, the original lower Hay of the name Havaya, is called the field of Machpelah. The fourth Hay, the one used to spell out the original lower Hay, is called the cave of the field of Machpelah. The second Hay of the name Havaya refers to Malchut, the partsuf of Nukva. This Sefirah, this partsuf, is synonymous with the divine presence, the Shekhinah, which is also known as the field of holy apples. The imagery of the fourth Hay as a cave seems to be the reverse of the cave imagery for the first Hay. Here the cave is the place where the thing is in it is revealed. There is also a fifth aspect, which is known only as the cave, without any modifier. This is a manifestation of the letter Hay spelled out with the letter Yud or Aleph. In either of these cases, it is not doubled. Sometimes the Machpelah cave is referred to simply as the cave. This refers to the letter Hay when not doubled. but spelled out with either a yud, as it is in the name Av, which is 72, or in the name when spelled out called Chag, which is 63, or as an Aleph when it is 45, is the name. The numerical value of this name is also that of the word for with everything, in Hebrew, bakol. And it is known that the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, merited with everything. Bakol, from everything, in Hebrew, mikol, and everything, kol. Therefore, the three of them were buried in this cave. And I am adding, this phrase, Bakol Mikol Kol, is written in the Berkat HaMazon. And if you learn this Kavanah for when you are saying this phrase, you'll find it to be beneficial. Whenever you say the Berkat and you reach this phrase, it's a good place to pause and make your Kavanah from this information. Immediately after Abraham purchased the Machpelah cave and buried Sarah in it, we are told that Abraham was old, having arrived in days, and God blessed Abraham with everything. The word for with everything is bakol. The numerical value of bakol is 52, bet kaf lamed, which is 52, 2 plus 20 plus 30. And I am adding, Abraham is given everything. A man without a daughter does not have everything. So Bakal must be the name of Abraham's daughter. And more will be explained below. God gave the patriarchs a foretaste of the future world. It is stated in the Talmud that God gave the patriarchs a foretaste of the future world while they were still in this world. For Abraham, this is alluded to by the verse just quoted, and God blessed Abraham with everything, bakol. For Isaac, the allusion is found in the episode wherein Jacob stole the blessings that he intended to bestow on Esau. Jacob first fed Isaac some food, and about this food, Jacob later told Esau, "He brought it to me before you came, and I ate it of all." In Hebrew, the word is mikol. And I blessed him, and blessed he shall remain. The sages say that by this Isaac meant that he tasted all the tastes he sought to taste in it, that it was heavenly food like the manna. When Isaac smelled Jacob before eating his food, he said that he recognized the smell of the Garden of Eden on him. So we may presume that this was the taste he sought to taste in the food, and did as well. For Jacob, the allusion is in the episode of his encounter with Esau after returning from Laban. Jacob prepared a gift for Esau, but Esau tried to refuse it. Jacob persisted, however, and said, "Please take my blessing, which has been brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all, whole." Here also, this all refers to God's grace beyond material bounty, the taste of the world that is coming. Inasmuch as the Machpelah cave embodied the divine consciousness of the Shekhinah, which will be revealed in the future world, the patriarchs were buried there. This is also the mystical meaning of the sage's statement that Abraham had a daughter named Bakol. The sages say that the verse quoted above, "and God blessed Abraham with everything," Bakol, also alludes to the fact that Abraham had a daughter named Bakol. She personified the name Ban of Malchut, which is the daughter. The four names of Havaya, possessing the numerical values of 72, 63, 45, And lastly, 52, known as Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ban, correspond respectively to the four parts of Fiend, Abba, Ima, Zeranpin, and the Nukva. Zeranpin and the Nukva are the son and the daughter of Abba, the father, and the Ima, the mother. The fact that this daughter is mentioned immediately after Abraham acquired the Machpelah cave, even though she must have been born before this, before Sarah died, indicates that there is a thematic connection between her and this cave. This connection is the fact that the cave expresses the name Ban, which is 52, and the numerical value of her name is 52. The Torah effectively tells us that Abraham was blessed with a daughter, with Malchut, the divine consciousness of the future world, only when he purchased the Machpelah cave, since this cave embodied this divine consciousness. So did the master, the Arizal, explain this verse, saying that the numerical value of Bakol is the same as the name Ban, being 52, spelled out with the letter He. This name is called the daughter of Abraham, our father. I, Rabbi Chaim Vital, the recorder of these teachings, would like to add. The explanation of the aforementioned four subdivisions of Malchut is not clear to me right now. It could be that the Partsufim of Leah and Rachel correspond to the upper and lower haves of the name Havaya of Ima, which in turn correspond to Bina and Tivunah. Each of these has its own Malchut, which are two other haves within the spelling out of the first haves. As we have seen previously, Leah originates in Malchut of Bina, while Rachel originates in Malchut of Tivunah. Leah is associated with thought, which we use more to think about abstract intellect, while Rachel is associated with speech, which we use more to talk about applied intellect. Or it could be that all four are within Rachel, as we have explained in our exposition of Rosh Hashanah regarding the first blessing of the standing prayer, with reference to the four beginnings of the year. According to this, there are four partsufim within Rachel alone, which sometimes combine to form one collective partsuf, just like the supernal Ima. In the ultimate future, there will be no need for the soul to experience such processed divine consciousness. Based on the above, it is explained in Chassidut that the two A's manifest in the cave of Machpelah are the lower and upper Garden of Eden, the abode of the soul in the afterlife. In the lower Garden of Eden, the soul receives its reward for the physical performance of the mitzvot that it fulfilled in this world, while in the upper Garden of Eden, it receives its reward or compensation for the intellectual and emotional intentions it invested in performing these mitzvot. The two hays become manifest as the two levels of the Garden of Eden, because the form of the hay indicates expansion into dimensions. The three lines that make up the hay indicate the three dimensions of breadth, length, and depth. The disconnected leg of the hay is seen as a line going perpendicular to the plane that is defined by the two connected legs. In order for the soul to experience divinity, it has to assume dimensions. That is, it has to be expressed in a way that a sentient being can integrate it into its own consciousness. The translation of divinity into a form that the soul can integrate is indicated by the doubling of the hay. The second hay is latent within the first, is re- revelation of the expression implied within the hay itself. In contrast to the two hays are the yud and the vav. The yud indicates tsumtsum, contraction. The initial contraction divinity must undergo in order for the process of creation to take place. The vav is seen as a further type of tsumtsum, a yud that has been extended downward as a straight line. These contractions are not a fleshing out of the divine consciousness with dimensions. The yud and vav are not spelled out with the letter he. The yud is spelled out with a vav, which indicates further contraction, plus a dalet, which comes close to being a he and is its source, but still lacks the true relief of three dimensions. The vav is spelled out with another vav, indicating further contraction. In the ultimate future, after the soul returns from its temporary abode in the afterlife and is resurrected in the rectified physical world after the resurrection of the dead, there will be no need for the soul to experience such process, divine consciousness. There would be no need for the name Havaya to be spelled out. The haze of the name will be able to experience the yud and vav directly, and in fact, the vav will not be necessary. In the future, the name Havaya will be spelled yud-he, indicating that both thought and speech will be able to express divine consciousness in its fullest form. This is alluded to in the verse, on that day, Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, will be spelled Yud-Heh-Yud-Heh, one, and his name will be one. This is a prophecy from Zechariah that most people don't realize the difference in the spelling between the two times Hashem's name is said. That is the end of the class. We still have a few more minutes, and I'm going to read you something that I started to read today. I've known this material for a while. The material comes from Rabbi Bar Sadok. It's an essay titled The Inner Earth, and he has put out a YouTube video that you can find on YouTube titled The Inner Earth as well. I'm not sure we'll have enough time to read all of it, but we definitely have enough time for the first couple of pages, which is the interesting part of it. The title of the essay is The Secrets of Hebron, Eden, and Inner Earth. There is a great mystery concealed in the Torah story about Abraham's burial of his wife Sarah. This mystery is not just another mooring mystical mumbo-jumbo philosophical religious lesson that makes us want to yawn. No, this mystery is about a geological and geographical reality spoken about for centuries in Torah literature and echoed in the literature of numerous cultures from around the world. What I am speaking about is the Garden of Eden being a real physical place and the secret of its actual location. So where is the garden, you may ask, and who is living there now? In order to answer these questions, let us delve into Torah, to the time of Sarah's death, and to the place of the burial, the double cave of Machpelah in Hebron. The Torah story is well known. Sarah, Abraham's beloved wife, mother of Yitzhak, passes away at the ripe old age of 127. Abraham, wealthy as he is, still does not own any property in his newly adopted homeland, then called Canaan. In those days, there were no cemeteries. The dead were usually placed in caves, which were sealed and protected as family tombs. Abraham sought to purchase such a cave for a family inheritance, wherein later he would be buried alongside his sons and grandsons. Indeed, we know this is what happened, and the cave of the patriarchs in Hebron is still a venerated place to this very day. Now, of all the caves in the area, why did Abraham choose this specific one, which we know as Machpelah? Well, the written Torah text does not delve into this issue. Written Torah seldom delves into any issues. The oral tradition dating back to those days brings us to us tremendous details, without which much of the written Torah will never be understood. The oral Torah relates a story retold in many Torah commentaries. It goes something like this. According to the Midrashic legend, which may or may not be historical, Abraham was out tending sheep one day when one of them ran off. He followed it through the hills and into a cave. Upon entering the cave, Abraham was overwhelmed by the sweet fragrances coming out from deep within the cave. He enters deeper, and to his surprise, he found that there was a second cave inside the first one. And inside the second cave lay buried a man and a woman whose bodies had not decomposed at all. Amazed at this, Abraham prays to God for answers. What is this place and who is buried here? The male body then sits up and speaks, saying to Abraham that he was Adam and that this cave is the entranceway to the Garden of Eden. This cave was the cave of Machpelah, and this episode was why Abraham specifically wanted it for his own tomb, for him and his loved ones to follow. This so goes the story. Now let us put legend aside and ask the necessary questions. If there is any legitimacy to Machpelah being an entranceway to the Eden, how is this physically possible? Gardens are placed where trees grow and flora flourishes, but these require the light of the sun in order for them to grow. We all know that caves are holes in the earth, some rather deep, some going for miles and miles. And yet what they all share is that they are deep underground without any exposure to sunlight. One could not have a garden growing in a cave. How then is the cave of Machpelah the entranceway to the Garden of Eden? Where on earth is the garden? Or maybe better to ask, where off the surface of the earth is the garden? Torah sages have forever acknowledged that the Garden of Eden is a physical location somewhere here on earth. Since the earliest times, Machpelah cave has been associated with the garden and is acknowledged to be the entranceway. Again, if there is more than legend to any of this, where is the garden? To answer this, we must delve into one of the greatest secrets guarded by the sages of Torah. And there is no better way to reveal it other than by being direct and outright. There is an inner earth, and the Garden of Eden is at the center of the earth, thousands of miles down, directly underneath the cave of Machpelah. The astounding proclamation is stated very so clearly in the Zohar and in other ancient sources. I think we've read enough for the time being. I will eventually put this handout onto the Ari's writing in so that you'll have access to all of it. Does anyone have any questions? No question.
So, I guess the depth of the earth, I mean, there's a lot of verses that state the depth of the earth or inner earth. And world, I mean, are we talking about a world or just a place?
The answer is yes. The question you're asking, Malka, takes a lot of explanation. And there's a lot of different theories that are expressed by various sages. The theory of the inner earth is that there are seven earths, approximately 500 miles high, separated by some distance between them, but that there are pathways to go from one inner earth to the lower inner earth. And that 500 miles width or height, and having seven of them, is consistent with the diameter of the earth. But of course, it's not hollow. It can't be hollow because the scientific instruments in space, in the satellites going around the Earth, they would be able to measure that it's hollow or whether it has substance to it. But of course, it could also be that we haven't reached that level of sophistication yet. So if you're really asking the question, is it real? Is there a physical Garden of Eden inside the earth? There will be people who will tell you yes. And there will be people who will tell you no. And you have to decide for yourself if you're interested enough to do the research. Rabbi Bar Sadak has done the research. And he appears on a TV program called Something Ancient Something. And he constantly is being asked these questions, and he gives his theories. Now, he is a teacher of mine, and his theories are more than practice. They're more than theories. They're his personal experiences of meditations. Does he travel to those places? Yes. Can you travel to those places? If you do the study, if you do the work, if you become a student of his, he will show you how.
Tell his name.
His name is Rabbi Ariel Bar Sadak, and his website is Kosher Torah.
Okay.
And I have been a student of his for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Hannah has been a student of his also for a similar period of time. So, is the Garden of Eden in the middle of the earth, right underneath the Cave of Machpelah? Or is that the doorway to another dimension? And it doesn't have to be in the middle of our physical earth. It can be in the middle of another physical earth, or maybe even the surface of another physical earth. That's another dimension. There's many different possibilities, depending on what is your worldview. And the rest of this essay goes into who is living there, which I'm not going to reveal. You're going to have to read all of that for yourself. Are there any other questions? So there will be four classes tomorrow. Our morning prayer will be at 7 a.m. West Coast time. The Tomer Devorah will be at 11 a.m. West Coast time. Our Deep Zohar is at 4:30 West Coast time. And our questions and answers, and I know we're going to be talking about the word secret. And the handout is known as the Slichot handout, which we start praying from and utilizing as a cleansing mechanism with the second day of Elul every year. And as Hannah said, it's on page 24, which she wants to discuss. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.